Happy feast, brethren. Are you excited to be here? Amen. Brethren, what I love most about being here is with God's people, but the Caribbean brethren, we can learn from you. You have zeal for God's way. How much do you love God's way? All of us. It shows by our actions. It shows by who we are. God sees all things. Are you on fire? Can you have too much zeal? Can you have too much fire? I had my temperature checked today on the way in. I mean, can they check your zeal factor? Huh? Can you have too much zeal? No. We need to be on fire for God, for His way, brother. Are you concerned about this world around us? What do you think about what's going on in this world? Does it concern you? I hope so. I hope it's a stir to action. It's time to get busy. Down to business. No fooling around. No messing around. Did you see it coming? I didn't see it coming. Did God see it coming? Does He see what's coming next? Do I see what's coming next? I better be concerned. I better be concerned because what's coming next, don't know. But brethren, honestly, I'm not really concerned. Why? Because God told the Israelites at the Red Sea what? To stand still and watch the salvation of the Lord. He's the one that's going to see us through. No government, no man's going to see us through. You better have, and I better have, our focus on God. That's where true life is going to come from. Our help and salvation is in no man, no government. That is for sure. It's in God and Jesus Christ. That better be our focus. I don't know where your focus has been in the last 7 months, brother. But what I do know is this. Our focus, if we want to make it through, better be on God. We're committed to Him and His Son, Jesus Christ, at His right hand. Not to any man. Because if we want true life, and that's where we better be heading, our focus better not be on this world around us. It better be on God. I hope this feast, brother, is a turning point for us. That we are renewed in our commitment, in our zeal for God. That's what my hope and prayer is. This is a personal topic for me. I've been looking, and hopefully all of us are, brother, looking at ourselves deep within. I mean, don't gloss it over. Don't sugarcoat it. And don't think the way I am is okay. Because we are going to be answering to God and His Son, Jesus Christ. Are we okay where we're at? It's time to just take it easy because I made it. No. I haven't made it yet. Have you made it yet? We want to make it. We want to make it. So I hope this feast is so fulfilling that you have so much zeal for God in His way. But brethren, actions speak louder than words, right? We could say it. And God wants to hear those sweet words. As long as we mean it. And looking at myself, brethren, I have to look deep within my moral fabric. I have to see who I am. Do you? Should you? I hope all of us are committed and faithful to God. Because that's what's going to take to make it through. We are not going to make it through any other way. We can't just, Mr. DeCampos, come here and warm a seat. Is that good enough? No, it's not good enough. God wants the best out of us. You think He's going to give eternal life to someone that hasn't prepared themselves? This is life and death. This is eternal life at stake. And this is eternal death at stake. Which one do you choose? Which one do I choose? I hope you view this message, brother, as a message of love and compassion. Why? I love you. I hope you love me. We need help for one another, encourage one another. Brethren, let's get this started. Miss Lockhart, please sound the wake-up call. Thank you. I got your attention, brother, because that's what it was supposed to do. That is a wake-up call. That is called reveille. And it's a French word for wake up. That's what the meaning is. And it does do that. It's used for the U.S. military. And there's four other countries that use that, which I didn't know that. It's a summons to action, to get busy, to do what it takes to be in God's kingdom. Let's do it, brethren. It's a stir to action. Are we stirred up? Do we want it more than anything that this life has to offer? Anything. Can you walk away from anything at this moment, right now? Could you? Would you? I hope so. I hope so, brethren. Let's get busy. Let's get down to business. Romans 13, 11 through 14. Romans 13, 11 through 14. I am going to try my best not to go over time, sir. I'm going to work through this as quick as I can. Romans 13, 11 through 13. And do this, knowing the time is now. It's high time to awake out of sleep. Do what? Do what? Awake out of sleep. Knowing what time? What time is it? High time. How much time do you have in your life? Do you know? Do you know how much time you have left on this earth? We're not guaranteed a last breath, are we? I mean, we're not guaranteed another breath. But we know we have a limited amount of time. It's sand in the hourglass. Once that's turned over and that time runs out for us, it's over. Is there any do-overs at that time? Can you do it over? What about this world? We're supposed to discern the times. What do you see? Be honest, brethren. What do you see? Is it disgusting? Is it immoral? Is it falling apart? I say, put it down and back away, because it's going to go. It's going to crumble. Is that what you see? Brethren, that should motivate us. Don't want to get lost here. Don't want to get lost, but awake out of sleep. For now, our salvation is nearer than we first started. Every moment, the time marches on. Time doesn't wait for any man. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. What do you see around you? Darkness. Don't be like this world. Don't be like it. Put on Christ. Let's walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy. Is that any of our desires? Are we doing any of those things? Like I say, brother, I have to look within. We all do. And if we're not, who are we going to fool? We're going to fool Christ and God. Where's that going to get us? Eternal life? Eternal death? Which one? Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. Christ said, be like me. We're all God's children. He wants us to act like him, look like him, walk like him, talk like him. We should be identical twins, actually. We need to be identical twins to our elder brother, Jesus Christ. Are we? Am I? And is it okay to have just a little sin? I mean, come on, just a little sin? What does it say? No provision for sin, for the lust. And brethren, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands. I don't know who. Well, I shouldn't say I don't know who. Do you have any faults? Do you have any sins? Do you at all? Don't raise your hand. I'll raise my hand. Do I need to work past them, get over them, finally get them out? Do house cleaning. When you house clean, what do? You sweep up that dirt, that grime, that mess. You get in that dustpan, and what do? You turn around and just right back in the room. No, let's view sin the way God views sins and Jesus Christ. Be disgusted with our sins and our faults and overcome them. We want to open that front door. We want to throw that sin out because I want to view sin like this, brother. I'm disgusted with you. I'm through with you. The consequences you bring me are not worth it. Not worth it. The alienation you bring for me and my Father is not worth it. So, brethren, is that how we view our faults? Are we sickened to our stomach by our sins, our faults? Our flaws? Are we going to live with them anymore? Are we going to be spiritually awake? Or are we slumbering? Who are you going to fool? Who are we fooling? Anyone? I hope not, brethren. I hope not. I don't even know if I got through with these verses, to be honest with you. And that's, so brethren, we need to know the time, because it's far spent. We need to make sure that we are putting on Christ. We are told in God's word so many times, there's so many warnings in here. Why are we warned? No excuses. God loves his people. He wants us to be in his kingdom. He wants to share it with us. But if I'm not taking heed to his word, I'm not taking heed to myself, shame on me. Shame on me. So, brethren, like I say, if I was falling asleep late at night and you saw me falling asleep, what would you do for me? If I was driving a vehicle and you were with me, what would you do for me? Would you nudge me and say, Floyd, wake up. What is going on? You can't be falling asleep here. Why? Because you're going to hurt yourself and you're going to hurt me. You want to live? Brethren, let's wake up. Let's be wide awake. Let's have our eyes wide open. Be honest with ourselves. Don't sugarcoat anything in your life that's contrary to God's way. No little sin is okay. Because it will get us one place or the other, eternal life or eternal fire. Which one is it, brother? And Christ and God is not going to give eternal life to someone that's haphazard with their calling. Will he? No. Will he be married to someone that's not faithful to him? Not committed to him? No, he will not be married. We want to be inside at the wedding supper. We want to make sure that we're there, that we're on the inside of that door when it is shut. We don't want to be on the outside. So, like I say, brethren, like I ask, how bad do you want it? Let's be focused, laser focused on the task ahead of us. Let's be standing at attention. Yes, sir, what do you need, sir? I'll do it, sir, right now. I'm busy with what your will is, not what my will is. So I hope, brethren, that we come away from this feast renewed in our commitment, renewed in passion and zeal, looking within, looking at our sins and being disgusted with them and overcoming them. But we have to be brutally honest with ourselves, brethren. Where I started to where I'm at now, I mean, hopefully there's a vast difference. Hopefully God is pleased with how we're growing and overcoming. But if there's the same old sins that I commit, that you commit, if it's the same old person and not putting on that new man, that new mind, what's in between these ears, that new heart, we're fooling ourselves. And we're not about our Father's business then, are we? So am I going backwards? Am I digressing? Am I letting this world rub off on me at all, anywhere in my life? I've got to be honest with myself. Am I? And if so, why? Well, for me, I think I know the answer for myself, because my wills, my desires are much greater than what my Father's are. Is that okay? Now, let's go to Ephesians, please, 4:17 through 24. Ephesians 4:17 through 24. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles in futility of their mind. Don't be as the world. Come out of it. Having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God. That's what sin does it not? Puts a wedge in between you and God. Feels shameful. God said, you move closer to me, I'll move closer to you. You move further away from me, you think God stays right there? He moves further away from us, brother. We want to be so close to God. We want to be on fire for God. From the life, being alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their eyes. Have you been in a dark room trying to find your way? Can't find my way. I'm blind. I don't understand. I don't see. They're turning their backs on God. Who, being past feeling, have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness and greediness. Is God okay with that? Are we doing any of that? But you have not so learned Christ. We have learned Christ. We know who he is, how he acts, how he thinks. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct, put it off. Flee from Satan. Turn your back on him. The old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust. Does that old man exist still? Or is there a new man, a new mind, a new heart? And be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man which is created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Am I righteous? Am I holy? What do my garments look like? Are they filthy? Have I been playing in that muck and mire? Have I been playing in there with the pigs and the swine? God knows. God sees. He sees my garments. Are they clean? If not, why not? But brethren, we need to pray and ask God to show us our deep hidden sins. Please show us. And please give us the strength to overcome them. Am I doing that? He tells us to be holy. Why? Why? Because he's holy. He is holy. He wants to give us his kingdom, brother. He wants to share it with us. But is he going to share it with us if we're filthy, if we're dirty, if we don't have on those white, clean, pure, precious linen that he wants us to have on? No. Brethren, now is the time. It's high time. What does it look like when someone is pushing the spiritual snooze button? What does it look like? But you know, there's something worse than that. What's worse than that? Not even knowing you're asleep, right? Not even having that alarm clock knowing that I need to get up. That's worse. Let's go to Mark 13, please. 32 through 36, Mark 13. And I think you get to the scriptures much faster than I do, I'm thinking, but Mark 32, or 13, 32 through 33. Mark 13, 32 through 36. Okay, let's get, all right. But on that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Why? Because human nature, well, I'll just wait. I'll just wait until I have to get ready, until I have enough time. Take heed, watch and pray. Take heed to what? Take heed to yourself. Take heed to what's inside of you. Take heed of the times. Are you bothered by the times? Or is it concerning to you? And pray why? Why do we need to pray? Well, that's our lifeline. God is who we gain our strength from. We better be in close contact with him. Have our eyes firmly fixed on him. Have our total hope and desire has to be in him. Not any man, not any government. For you do not know when the time is. It is like a man going to a far country who left his house and gave authority to his servants, to each his work, and commanded the doorkeeper to watch. Watch, therefore, take heed to yourselves. For you do not know when the master of the house is coming. We don't know when Christ is coming. It could be in the evening, at midnight, at the crowing of the rooster, or in the morning. There's reasons why we don't know, brother. But he's coming, ready or not. Here I come. Are you ready? Am I ready? Lest coming suddenly, he find you what, brethren? Sleeping. Are we spiritually awake? And what I say to you, I say to all, not just one person. Everybody, watch. I have something I want to give you. Something grand. Something more meaning than anything in this life. How bad do you want it? Are you watching? So, brethren, what does it look like when someone is completely asleep? When someone is turning their back on God? What does it look like? I'm not concerned about your will. I'm about partying. I'm about all having fun all the time. I'm about fulfilling my lust, my desires. What does that look like? Knowing God's way, once you put your hand to the plow, if you turn back, you're not fit for the kingdom, right? Let's go to Isaiah 29, see what that looks like. 9 through 13. Isaiah 29, 9 through 13. What does that look like? Is God disgusted with that when someone turns their back on what he has for you? Ah, yes, he is. And this is about, I got to get to the right chapter before I keep talking, but Isaiah 29, 9 through 13. This is about Jerusalem, the city where David dwelt. God prevailed, helped them prevail, fought their battles. God provided, made sure that he took care of them, and he protected them. This is the thanks he gets for when they turn their back on him. What do you think he thinks about that? Now, verse 9, pause and wonder, blind yourselves and be blind. They are drunk, but not with wine. They stagger, but not with intoxicating drink. What does God do? Verse 10, for the Lord has poured out on you a spirit of deep sleep. Is that concerning? Can you wake up out of that spiritual nap? And has closed your eyes, namely the prophets, and has covered your heads, namely the seers, those that lead God's people. He even closes their eyes when they turn their backs on him. The whole vision has become to you like words of a book that is sealed, which men deliver to one who is literate, saying, read this, please. I don't understand it any longer. I don't make any sense of what this is saying. Doesn't make sense. Why? Lights on, lights off. The whole vision has become to you like a book. Excuse me. Verse 12, then the book is delivered to one who is literate, saying, read this, please. And he said, I'm not literate. I can't make heads or tails of it. Doesn't make sense to me no more. Verse 13, therefore the Lord said, please listen to this verse. Inasmuch as these people, is God disgusted with these people? Draw near with me with their mouths and honor me with their lips. A lot of lip service going on. I love the Lord, but man, in action, I don't show it. But have removed their hearts far from me. He's not in their thoughts. He's no concern to them anymore. His way is not what they want. I want to live it up. I want to party. I want to have fun. Really? Is that what you want? Or is that going to take you? And their fear toward me is taught by the commandment of men. Not by what is in this precious word, brother. This is truth. You go to this right here for your truth. If anyone, doesn't matter who it is, says anything contrary to this, what trumps it? This is the authority. This is what we go by. Not what, if someone were to say different, don't listen to it. Listen to this. So that's what deep sleep looks like, brethren. That's what God thinks of deep sleep. So God does, and he will, sift his wheat from the chaff. Do you want to be chaff thrown into the fire? He separates the goats from the sheep. Brethren, what group are we in? What group are you in? Does it make a difference? Yeah, boy, yes it does. It sure does. So, brethren, that's what it looks like to be spiritually asleep. I mean, totally asleep. Turn your back on God. Woe, woe to those who turn their back on God. What about someone that's pushing the spiritual snooze button? What exactly does that look like when you do that? Well, think of it this way. I'm going to get up. Oh, I better get up. I'm going to take a little time right now. I'm just going to enjoy myself, live in sin for a season, and I'll change my ways. But not now. Not now. I'm not ready yet to wake up. That's what hitting the spiritual snooze button looks like, brethren. We don't want that to look like us. Revelation 3, 14 through 19, please. Revelation 3, 14 through 19. Revelation 3, 14 through 19. Brethren, there's so many warnings in God's word. Why? Because he loves us. He doesn't want us to be caught off guard. Revelation 3, 14 through 19. And the angel, and we've heard this before. Anyone getting tired of hearing this again? I hope not, because we need to keep going over these things. Remind ourselves of these things. And to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, "These things says the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works. I see right through each and every one of us. He sees what we do, how we act." And brethren, when we come in contact with someone, especially let's say at work or some, and they know that we're supposed to be religious, right? And you, hopefully the response would be, "I you didn't have to tell me because I see it. You show it because you are different. You're a breath of fresh air. I see it in your character. I knew there was something different. I couldn't pinpoint it, but I see it." Or, brethren, is it, "You say you're a Christian? Really? Not by your actions, you're not showing that." Which response, brethren, do we get when we come into contact with people? And hopefully we are coming in contact with people because, brethren, we want to be a difference to them. They see a hope. They see something different that they want. "That you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot." Is Christ disgusted with that or what? What does he say? "So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold or hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. I am sick to my stomach, and how you are treating the calling that I have presented before you. What's important to you? Because I say I'm rich, have become wealthy, and have needed nothing." I'm pretty good the way I am. I don't need to change nothing. "If you think you stand, take heed lest you fall, brother." We got some changing to do. I know I do. What about you? You should be judging yourself. We should be judging ourselves. This is serious, serious business here, brethren. "And do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked like the rest of the world." Is that what you see in this world? Are we like it? "I counsel," this is what Christ wants. 18, "I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed." Then what does Christ say? "And anoint your eyes with eye salve." God and his son are the ones that open eyes. They are the ones that close eyes. If we are close to God and doing his will, he will make us more aware. We will be able to discern and see things more clearly, and we will be wide awake. "That you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten." Why? Because he loves us. He doesn't want to lose any of us, brethren. "Therefore, what should we be like? Therefore, be zealous and repent." Can you be have too much zealous? Can you be too hot for God? I don't believe so. In fact, I know you can't. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door," I think I went past to where I was supposed to go. So let's make sure that we're on the right side of the door, though, when it's shut. Let's go to Matthew 23, 27 through 28. This is another warning, brethren. And this is what Christ looks like or thinks about someone that is self-righteous and really is all talk and no show. But someone that thinks that they're a really, really good person. Well, we better be showing it by our actions. What does he say? "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which appear beautiful outwardly, but inside you are full of dead men's bones and uncleanness." What's more important, how I look on the outside? No, not at all. What is on the inside? What's in your heart? What's in your mind? For you are like whitewashed tombs that indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but inside you are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. Even so, you also outwardly appear righteous to men, and inside you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. Is there any hypocrisy in us? Am I practicing sin in any way, shape, or form? I hope not, brother. I hope not. Can't have so a lukewarm person, part-time Christian, show up on time, warm a seat. You can't have it both ways. You can't have one foot in the world, one foot in church. Because, brethren, we don't fool anyone. We don't fool God, that's for sure. We want to make sure that we're choosing blessings over cursings, that we are choosing life over death. We have ability to choose. Let's be wise and choose life. Brethren, we have to get to that moment, that time in life where this world is so shallow. We see what's going on in this world. I don't want any part of it. I want to back away from it. I want to come out of it. I don't want to be like it. Hopefully, all of us have come to that moment, that point in our life. And here's a question. Can you really be godly in a world like this? I mean, it's all around us. I mean, the norms. Am I accepting the norms that are out there? Am I okay with what's out there? Just because it's legal, is it right? No. No. Just because it's accepted, does that make it okay with God and His Son, Jesus Christ? No. Mm-mm. But God, Christ showed it was possible. He overcame sin. He became perfected, brother. He showed that it was possible. He withdrew to the wilderness often to pray. Why? And that's what we need to be doing. Don't get all this noise and everything that's going on around us in this world. Withdraw ourselves. Get away from all of it. Focus on our Father. Look within and gain our strength from Him. That's what Christ did. We need to be doing that, brethren. What about Noah? Did Noah, he was a righteous man, wasn't he? How was his society? Perverted, immoral, very sick. He though, God showed mercy upon him. Why? Because he was that way. So, brethren, let's turn to Hebrews 11, 6 through 7. Hebrews 11, 6 through 7. Hebrews 11, 6 through 7. But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder to those who diligently seek Him. He will reward those who love Him and seek Him out. By faith Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen. Was God gracious to him? He warned him. He was divinely warned. Did Noah take heed to it? Moved with godly fear. I could just keep right reading. But what does move with godly fear look like? I'm going to touch on that in a minute because that is important. All of us need to be moving with godly fear. Prepared an ark for the saving of his household. How good a father was Noah? Saving of his household. He was concerned. The example he set. He was concerned in how he carried himself. He was concerned that they were protected from the oncoming catastrophe. I hope we're all concerned that we show our children how to live. We're a walking sermon. You live what you preach. You do what you say to do. Not just, I mean, that's what we need to be doing, brother. And that's what Noah did. Noah was a great father, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness, which is according to faith. By Noah's actions, by how he lived, he found himself approved. By how the rest of the world lived, they condemned themselves and how sick and immoral they were. What are we doing? How do I look to God? Am I approved or not? One of the two, brethren. What does it look like moving with godly fear? Noah look to God and think, you're going to do me in. You want to do away with me. You are harsh and you are hateful and you're mean. No, that's not. Satan wants to influence the world thinking towards God. That's how he wants the world to look at God. But brethren, we know that God wants to share his kingdom with us. It's his good pleasure to give it to us. It's here for the taking. Noah moved with godly fear because he was so concerned about his father, his will. I want to make you pleased with me, Father. I want you to be proud of me. God meant business. Noah knew he meant business. Do you think Noah was half-hearted in his approach? Do you think he took time off spiritually? I'm just going to take a little nap over here spiritually. I'm not, you know, I'm going to take some time off. Show me in the scripture where he took some time off. I don't know if he did or not. I don't think he did, but we can't be taking time off. We can't have a half-hearted approach, brother. There's no excuses. No excuse that's going to be good enough, that's for sure. And it should be God's will, not our will. He revered God with his whole heart and soul. Ask yourselves that. I need to ask myself that. He looked to God for direction, for guidance, for purpose, for insight. He was humble and meek before the Lord. He was spiritually awake. Brethren, are we spiritually awake? Let's go to Luke 17, 26 through 32. Luke 17, 26 through 32. Luke 17, 26 through 32. And it was in the days of Noah, so it will also be in the days of the Son of Man. What do you see in this world? It's going to be just like it. It's going to be likened to it. So they ate, they drank, they married wives, they were given to marriage until the day of Noah entered the ark. And the flood came and destroyed them all. Ready or not, here I come. That catastrophe, Noah preached to them. They didn't listen to him, did they? They didn't take heed to themselves, but it destroyed them all, caught them off guard. We don't want to be caught off guard. Likewise, as it was also in the days of Lot, they ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, and they planted, they built. Lot's son-in-laws, what did he say to him? I don't believe you. We have it pretty good. We're not going anywhere. We're staying right here. But on the day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. So it will be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. It's going to be the same kind of thing, brother. Where are we going to find ourselves? In that day, he who is on the housetop, and his goods are in the house, let him not come down to take away them away. You think God means business? If you were to come down and do that, what does it show God in your heart? That you long for something else, don't you? You're just not ready yet. And likewise, the one who is in the field, let him not turn back. Why? Verse 32, remember Lot's wife. Why is it so important to remember Lot's wife? She turned into a pillar of salt, didn't she? She looked back. She didn't look forward. She didn't have her focus on where she's supposed to be going. Family, friends, lifestyle, society. Where's our focus? Remember Lot's wife. If we were told to leave right now, could you? Would you? Let's go to Matthew 25. Matthew 25, 1 through 13. That's why I asked, brother, where has your focus been? Hopefully it's on God, because it needs to be. It needs to be, not this world. It's going to crumble. It is falling apart. You see it. Handwriting's on the wall. Discern the times. Make sure that we're wide awake. So Matthew 25, 1 through 13, we've heard this as the parables. We want to make sure that we understand what this says, though. It's a warning. Warning, take heed to it. Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to the 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom Christ. Now 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Question, which ones are we? Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. They didn't have much of the Holy Spirit with them, did they? They were more concerned about fulfilling their lusts and desires, weren't they? Hitting that spiritual snooze button. But the wise took oil in their vessels. With their lamps. They had God's Holy Spirit, didn't they? Who was wise and who was foolish? Who said, now's the time to wake up? But while the bridegroom was delayed, Christ, they all slumbered and slept. They all had sins, they all had faults, they all had flaws, did they not? We all do. But who was wise and finally kicked it into high gear? finally came out of sin, finally putting those things behind them. And at midnight, the cry was heard, "Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Ready or not, here I come." Christ is coming. Go out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, some of your Holy Spirit. We need it. We're almost out. We need some more Holy Spirit. For our lamps are going out." But the wise answered, saying, "No, lest there should not be enough for us and you. But go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves." Where do you get the Holy Spirit? Who gives you the more of the Holy Spirit if you're pleasing to them? God and Jesus Christ. It's too late. Too late. Hand in the test. Put down your pencils. The test is over. And while they came to buy, the bridegroom came. Christ came. And those who were ready went in with him to the wedding. What a glorious day. Do you want to be at the wedding? And the door was shut. Noah's Ark, that door was shut. How do you think those people reacted when that door was shut? And it started to pour rain. Noah, please. Noah, open the door. Let us in. You were right all along. We should have listened to you. Verse 11. Afterward, the other virgins also came also saying, and how do you think this response is going to be? "Lord, Lord, open to us. Please open the door. I should have been ready. You gave us warning. I didn't listen to you. I'm so sorry. Please open the door." Verse 12, Christ's response. But he answered and said, "Assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you." You should have listened to me. You should have taken heed to yourselves. "Watch, therefore," excuse me, "for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming." Brethren, we don't know. He's coming. Ready or not, here I come. So I hope, brethren, we're ready for that day, if it happens in our life. But our last breath, this is our test. The test, we're being tested. The judgment of the house of God is right now. If you had to hand in your test right now, what kind of grade would you get? What kind of grade would I get? Matthew 13, for the last scriptures, brethren. Matthew 13, 38 through 43. "The field is the world. The good seeds are the sons of the kingdom, but the tares are the sons of the wicked one," the ones that were wise and ones that were foolish. "The enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age. The reapers are the angels. Therefore, as the tares are gathered and burned in the fire," no do-overs, no start over, no "I need more time," "so it will be at the end of this age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all things that offend." Am I offensive? "And those who practice lawlessness," those who practice sin. Don't sugarcoat it. Brethren, our sins, we need to get out now. Now is the time. "And we'll cast them in the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth," just when that door is shut. Brethren, we want to be on the right side of that door. The warning is sounding, brethren. Satan wants to lull you to sleep. Just sleep your spiritual life away. Don't worry. You have time. Don't believe what he has to say. Brethren, the time is now. It's high time. So the question, brethren, is how bad do you want it? Will we answer the call? The question, brethren, is will we? It's our choice. Be wise and answer it. Awake out of slumber. It's time to rise and shine.